Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love scary movies. That's right. This is Doug Loves Scary Movies, recording on Sunday, October 8th, 2023, Kingsman, the Golden Circle of Friends with Benefits, A Wonderful Life, as we know it could happen to you, only live twice in a lifetime, Cop and a Half, Nelson of Rambo, First Blood, Part 2 for the Roadhouse Sitter, Roadhouse Sitter, Terminator 2, Judgment Days, and Confused Cars, Cynic and Old Lace in the Whole School of Rock. My guests today are all returning participants, which is a really sexy expression, returning participants. give it up in your own homes. Applaud to yourselves for Joe Lynch, Rachel McCarty, and Monica Nevy. Hello.
Yay, hello.
Yay. Yay. I don't know if we're supposed to be clapping to like screw things up, but yay, everybody. Yay, we're all second dates.
No, I just am so used to saying, like, at the shows with an audience, you know, give it up for, and then just now I started to say that, and it doesn't make sense, because everyone's just listening at home to this one. There is no audience, but thank you, all of you, for being here, wherever you are. Back after his win last week, it's Joe Lynch. Hey, Joe.
Hi, everybody. You're not sick of me yet. Well, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, let's check in at the end. Let's do a check-in at the end, see if everyone is still cool with you. Last night, I accidentally called your latest motion picture Suitable Flesh. In a conversation, I called it Sustainable Flesh, which...
You seem to be doing that a lot.
But that could be like, the more environmental sequel to Suitable Flesh.
I would rather it be a sustainable box office when it comes out October 27th in theaters.
I love it.
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for being back again, and we'll plug it again one more time at the end of the show. Okay. Also returning is someone who appeared on the Seattle episode we did earlier this year, and that's Monica Nevy. Hello, Monica.
Hello, thank you for having me back.
How are things in the Pacific Northwest?
They're hotter than they should be, so we're uncomfortable, but I think we're doing okay.
Yeah, it's, I don't think of it as being hot very often there, so it's been a weather-wise, it's been a weird year, I think.
Well, and by hot, I mean 72, so that's, you know.
Right.
Maybe not hot for everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be up there in Tacoma on Saturday, October 21st. Unfortunately, Monica is going to be out on the road on that date, but I still, I'm sure I'll manage to come up with some excellent guests. Yes. And joining us over Zoom a bunch of times, it's Rachel McCartney. Hey, Rachel.
Is it a bunch of times now? That's so exciting.
Right? Because you had a nice run there where you won a few weeks in a row.
No, I think you must be thinking of someone else.
No way. I swear you won a couple of times.
I've seen 5 movies in my entire life. I'm confused as to why you even asked me to do this a second time.
I do not remember it being that. Well, you know, maybe you did well because I just happened to mention the 5 movies that you have seen. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But yeah, I really, you know, you should run with it that I perceive you as a champion. And
yeah, that's great. I think you're wrong, but we can go with it.
Okay. Well, that's the thing is I don't really, the keeping track of the stats isn't really my thing. So it's all based on memory after doing this thing for 17 years now. And so in my mind, in my heart, Rachel McCartney is a champion.
Hell yes.
And thank you for being here today. Joe, of course, won last week, so that's why he's back. And it's also just really in his wheelhouse what we're doing this month, because I mostly do scary, you know, the games involve scary movies, just to be in the spirit of the season and also give people some ideas of movies to watch. Because at this point, there's thousands of horror movies out there on all those damn streamers and stuff, and you know, somebody's got to help people pick what to watch. So that being said, recommendation all month long is I ask each of you, each of my guests, to recommend a scary movie. Joe Lynch, what have you got this week?
So I am always of the mindset, because there's always the stable of, there's the Halloween movies, there's the nightmare movies. You know, a lot of people, for some reason, have been talking a lot this season about Night of the Demons. I don't know if you've ever seen the 1980s Kevin Tenney movie with Leanna Quigley called Night of the Demons, which is always fun. People want kind of that spook-a-blast kind of sensibility, those like roller coaster movies. There's also Hocus Pocus for all of you family members out there that want to, you know, watch something that's kind of fun and spooky and not freak the kids out completely. That said, I want to delve into something that is a little harder to find. You might have to go to a non-streaming platform for this, YouTube, to see it, you know, in its current state. But it is a movie that I recently just watched, and I'm curious if anyone else had seen it. It's been remade before, and a lot of people didn't even know it was a remake at the time. But it's a movie that came out in the 80s, in 1986, called The Hitcher. And it's written by the guy who did Near Dark, Eric Red, and Body Parts. It was directed by Robert Harmon. It was his first film. It stars Rutger Hauer. This is the sexy and evil Rutger Hauer, and C. Thomas Howell and Jennifer Jason Leigh in a fantastic role. And it's hard to find only because of rights, but there is a version that's going to be coming out on Blu-ray. It's one of those movies that like every single one of these like bespoke retro Blu-ray companies like Shout Factory or Vinegar Syndrome have been trying to snap up for years. But it's finally coming out in the next couple months. And I implore people to see this. Now, whether you saw it in the 80s on HBO like I did, or maybe caught it, you know, on a streamer, it kind of pops up here and there. It was on Hulu a couple of years ago for a minute. But this movie is one of the scariest films I have ever seen. And it's also one of the most gorgeously shot horror films ever. It was shot by John Seale, who recently did a little movie called Mad Max Fury Road. and you know, and multiple other
heard films, of it,
like you might have heard of it, like Rogue Warrior and stuff. It's a very simple story about a kid who's driving from I think it's Chicago to L.A. with a back in the day when you would actually like hire nefarious youngsters to like drive a car from, you know, from one side of the country to the other. And he's just driving along the Texas borders, and he comes across a hitchhiker. He picks the hitchhiker up, played by Rutger Hauer. And that hitchhiker then decides to fuck with him for the rest of the movie. And by fucking with him, I don't mean sexy times. I mean, he goes to no ends to make this kid's life a living hell and doesn't stop ever. He is more terrifying and more unrelenting than, say, a T-800. It is, like, seriously, it really, like, just watch it again. If you are in the LA, in the Los Angeles area, you can actually go to either Vidiot's or Cinephile to pick up the import Blu-ray. But it is, bar none, one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. You'll never eat French fries the same way again. And you will never see Jennifer Jason Leigh in the same light ever again after seeing this movie. And I don't mean like, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High level. I mean, there is some crazy shit that happens to her that will just, it'll you'll never watch Dorothy Parker and her Vicious Circle the same way again either, I'm sure.
Well, I can assure you I'll never watch that again. Let me say this about you won't eat French fries the same way again. Are you implying that we won't eat them with our mouths anymore after we see this movie? Like, what other ways?
at least at the very least, you won't eat steak frites. You know, those thick ones that look as big as your finger. Hint, hint.
I
wink,
get
wink.
It now. Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah.
You've said too much. But I agree with most of it. It's a really good, scary movie. I saw it in cinemas when it initially came out, and have been a fan ever since. I believe I even owned the VHS for a while.
But now the VHS that you owned was likely a pan and scan. This movie is shot so widescreen, like, mm-hmm. and it looks more gorgeous than most, like, this, it looks like a movie that like David Lean would approve of. That's how beautifully it's shot. But again, it's been unavailable either letterboxed or in kind of in digital form for a very long time. I think you can probably get it on VOD in certain cases, but just give it a shot. It's gorgeous, but it is also incredibly terrifying.
All right. Excellent. Excellent suggestion. There's not enough C. Thomas Howell love out there.
Was there ever?
I don't think so.
Soul Man. Can we talk about Soul Man? No, we won't talk about Soul Man.
I don't even know what the C and C Thomas Howell stands for. That's how little, you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of celebrity where I just never was even remotely curious about what. I think it's Chris, if I had to guess, because his dad's a stuntman named Chris Howell, I think. But anyway, Monica, you don't have to say as many words.
Sorry.
I was just going to say.
You know a lot about your subject, but I'm just saying, taking the pressure off of Monica.
Yeah, you might be able to help me with this one, though, because I actually don't like horror films. So the one that I thought of, I actually probably need more understanding of, because it is the film that I remember watching when I was very young. And it stuck with me so much that might be why I don't like horror films. It's not really that scary of a movie, I'm sure, because I've described it to people, because I forgot what it was called. I described it to people as an adult and they're like, oh, it's Species. But I could only really remember, because she's, you know, she's the alien robot lady that needs to sleep with, she wants to get pregnant, right? To like stay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember this scene in a hotel room when she cuts her own thumb off and it grows back. And then she goes to like cut the guy's thumb off or so. I can't even remember. And I just like remember that film so much. And like, I think about it often. And I know I've never watched it again after that. And I feel like I need either people to go and watch it and tell me what trauma I've sustained from watching this, or I need to know more about the film. I also have always been a fan of Michael Madsen's voice. And he's in that. And I remember that part was very calming, but otherwise I don't know enough
very
about
calming.
It.
It's
him is the dad from Free Willy. And so that was calming to me, I think.
Yeah, I think it. I think that. Yeah, you probably don't know him from all of his other work because he's not. He's not in Calming Things at all. No. Quite the opposite. But yeah, Joe, you agree that Species? That's a good one, right?
That's a great movie. I mean, the blend of sci-fi and horror at the time. It used H.R. Giger's designs, which obviously everyone remembered from the Alien movies, but they hired him specifically to work with the effects artist Steve Johnson, who also did Night of the Demons, to create the creature. And Natasha Henstridge.
I did that on purpose, you know, stars would go together.
Yeah, she knew it would tie in nicely.
Plus, you never thought you would ever see Michael Madsen and Ben Kingsley like fighting to each scenery in one movie, and Species does it for you.
There you go. It's a good pick. All right, good for me.
Yeah, it was a great. Like I saw Natasha Henstridge somewhere in person. I was just like, you know, starstruck mostly because of that specific movie. You know, like that really, I really put her on the map, and it was really unique in, you know, getting to see her. Doesn't she? I haven't seen it in a minute, but I feel like she French kisses someone to death.
Oh yeah, that feels in a hot tub.
Is this a movie about a dog?
it's about a species. Three.
Yes. yeah, it's just about this alien lady that comes down and makes a lot of trouble, and I like it. These are two. So far, we got two like classics. I think, Rachel, have you? I know that you've only seen the five films, but of those five,
were any of them horror?
Were any of them scary?
I would have to say the closest thing to a horror movie of the five movies that I've seen would be Rachel getting married. I think
that's
I can trust that.
Terrifying on a whole other level.
From the director of Silence of the Lambs is Rachel getting married. It is a horror. That movie is horrifying. Like the tension.
You find out what happened, I mean, like, that movie gave me trouble sleeping for a week, so I'm gonna say that was a horror movie.
I love it. And well, were you extra traumatized because her name was Rachel?
Well, the protagonist's name was Kim with a Y for some reason, so I don't think anybody on earth is traumatized for that reason.
So yeah, so it's about she was attending Rachel's wedding.
Yes. Yeah, the Rachel character in the movie is, I don't want to say minor, but she's the least screwed up person in the entire family.
Yeah, because it's like her husband sort of steps out at her right there at the like wedding, right? Or something like that.
No, they get married. Like all of that is fine. The core tension. How much am I allowed to spoil things?
Oh, go crazy on this one.
Okay, so the movie is about...
Yeah, I think it's like what you say about it could be a selling point to get people to watch, because it just sounds like a movie about a wedding. This doesn't sound fun at all, but go ahead.
Oh, and it's even less fun than a wedding.
Yeah. But it's,
which
it's,
is
it's,
fucking
there's a
saying
tension.
Something.
So what's the tension surrounding?
So the protagonist of the movie is this addict named Kim.
Played by Anne Hathaway. Right.
Sorry, my mic just muted.
Oh. feel free Played to cut yourself out if you're going to say something you were.
That was the ghost of Jonathan Demme going, spoiler alert. And he's like,
I'll tell you, his movie Ricky and the Flash. Nobody flashes anybody the whole time. Okay, so what's
disappointing? The conflict is she's been in and out of rehab for 10 years because when she was 16, she was babysitting her brother and she was very high on Percocet and she lost control of the car and her brother drowned.
Oh, so now she's a mess showing up at this wedding trying to hold it together.
Yeah, and I mean, she's not even really trying to hold it together. She's acting out because at this point, like, there's really nobody good that she can be. Like, she doesn't see any path for her to redeem herself or live any kind of positive meaningful life. And yeah, it's, I don't feel like I need to say at this point it's horrifying. I think you get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the scariest movie of the five movies I've seen.
It is really strangely intense. when I saw recently on that show, The Bear, the episode with the whole family getting together. That reminded me a lot of Rachel getting married, just the way it's just like, it's just, you know, endless, like all these people are just stuck together at, in this one spot and there's so much tension and weirdness. And, but yeah, Rachel getting married was like, I think maybe the tipping point of like people who have this irrational hatred of Anne Hathaway. I think she's like an incredible actress and she's in a movie coming out soon called Eileen that I think she's great in. And, you know, she was in your boy, Joe's boy, Nacho's movie about the, what's that movie called with the monster?
Oh, the one with the kaiju. Ted Lasso in it.
Sudeikis. It's kind of generic. It's just called like the monster or the something. Anyway,
Like gigantic or something. Oh fuck!
But anyway, she is terrific in that too. I think she's always good, but she's really good in Rachel Getting Married. But she's, you know, a very frustrating character to like. I could see people like that would be like the moment where they go, "I'm just going to hate Anne Hathaway from now on," because that.
I think she takes on challenging roles though. Like she's not going. She's not always going the, you know, let me endear to you and like always do Devil Wears Prada kind of stuff. She's taking on roles that are not fucking around, you know, like she doesn't care that she's maybe playing unlikable parts. And the thing that I remember about that movie too was that Jonathan Demme, if you see his whole body of work, he never used handheld cameras much. And this was kind of like his Dogma movie where it was like really handheld and feels like it was very naturally shot. So I think that kind of fly on wall feeling made a lot of people uncomfortable too.
Yeah. It's a ride. I can see that. It's a ride.
But I feel like the Anne Hathaway hate started with Princess Diaries. And I don't think anybody hated Anne Hathaway off of like Rachel Getting Married. Like she so clearly killed that role. And even though the character is very frustrating, she's not a goody two shoes at all, which is what people hate Anne Hathaway for. I'm kind of surprised that after that movie, she didn't like get to play more of those super dramatic protagonist roles because she was so good in that movie.
I think she was even Oscar nominated for it. And then, you know, of course, she won for Les Mis, where she really, really went for it with the whole saving the head and everything. Like she goes for it. She doesn't mess around.
Definitely.
So yeah,
I guess that is a super dramatic protagonist role. I guess I meant why isn't she in more of the exact type of indie movies that are the only movies I watch?
Why isn't she in the other five, the other four that you've seen? Why didn't she get those too?
You know what? She was in Brokeback Mountain, so I guess that's 2 out of 5.
Well, I think you would really like Eileen if you decide to see a sixth movie.
She's terrific.
She's terrific in it. It's her and Thomasin McKenzie, who's in. I'm guessing not in any of the your other five movies, but she's a terrific actress as well. Okay, so those are great recommendations. It's like it kind of like kept ramping up, like each one was scarier than the last. But it's not up to me to decide what's the scariest. I'm not in charge of that. So I'll put this on the Doug Loves Movies account. I'll do a little poll and see what people think is the scariest of those movies. I think it'd be hilarious if anybody watch Rachel Getting Married this month based off of this recommendation.
Like it's a Halloween movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it fits. It fits. 31 days scary movies. It's his second scariest movie after Silence of the Lambs, Jonathan Demme, that's for sure.
It's like the annoying Married to the Mob goth version of Die Hard is the Christmas movie.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, let's start Rachel Getting Married to Halloween movie. Let's start that.
It started here, yes.
What time of year does the wedding take place? It's probably in the like summer or something, but
something like that.
It'd be funny if it was really day and date. All right. Thanks again for the recs. Let's go to a break before we play some games. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back, and I'm still shivering with, I'm just terrified at the idea of watching Rachel getting married again. And I just might do it. Because I am watching 31 horror movies this month. Joe, are you on a, you're on a similar regimen? You're seeing horror movies every day?
Every day, yep. I have our list up. We're ready to go so that there's, at the drop of a hat, it's going to be like, oh, what's today? Oh, it's either Nosferatu or Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. You got to be ready.
How does 4, 4 was probably, was that a good one?
The Rennie Harlan quote-unquote classic. What's interesting is that if you watch like 1, 2, 3, and 4, you go from, you see Freddy Krueger as this horrifying little creature, you know, that is like invading people's dreams and making everybody's lives a living hell. And by the fourth one, he's a rock star. So we actually just watched it. I mean, he is, he was hosting MTV at that point. And when you get Rennie Harlan, the director, to shoot him, he's, you know, it's all about the funny ha-has, and you know, it's less about the scares and more about the gags. I like 4. My favorite one, still, I think 1 is the best, and 3 is my second favorite. 4 is up there, like just as part of the fun factor of it. It's a good Halloween movie that you can put on in the background while you're carving a pumpkin.
Yeah, because I remember that is it the one called Dream Warriors?
No, that's Dream Master is part 4. Dream Warriors is the third one.
Oh, Dream Warriors, then Dream Masters. Who are
and
they?
Then
who
the
do you think should remember this shit?
Me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, any series of movies I'm a fan of, I do remember all the exact titles. But you know, over the years, Freddy's lost me a little bit. But I do remember that, like, if you do a montage of Freddy kills and Freddy's violent moments, it's. You know, over the years, there's been a lot of amazing stuff in those movies.
Oh, yeah.
But let's play a game that I just made up today for our first game that hopefully will be a little easier for people who aren't just into scary movies. This one is called Name That Tune's Movie. Name That Tune's Movie. So I will name a song that was in a musical motion picture, and then you have to guess what movie it is from, or you might just know it, and then your guess would be probably the correct answer. We'll start with Joe. I'll tell him the name of a song from a musical. Okay. He gets one guess. If he misses it, we go to Monica, and then if Monica misses, we go to Rachel, and... we just have a few rounds of this, and we'll see if anybody gets any of these right, because I don't know. Okay. You know, I can't guess if one of these is in Rachel's 5 or Monica's. How many movies do you think you've seen, Monica?
Oh, probably 16. But none of them were scary.
Sweet, so that's, 16.
Yeah. Good, I'm about 12. I've seen 12.
You just watch them over and over.
You've seen 12,000 movies.
Most times it's just Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4 on a loop. So hopefully it's something off of the Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4 soundtrack, which has some amazing songs in it. So let's see.
Well, these aren't soundtrack songs. These are songs they sing in the movie. Like, the characters and sing like they do in all the great musicals.
Got it.
Or they keep doing what they're doing, but they sing while they're doing it. And right. Joe, this first one, what movie do you think has the song in it called Some Fun Now?
Oh, God. Wait.
Oh,
this is good. This is good because this ends up. Oh God, I'm so happy. I was so nervous. You're gonna pull out like some fucking Vincent Minnelli, you know, bon mot from the 40s. But I can name this one, and this is from a little film called Little Shop of Horrors.
That is correct. Wrong? You did it.
God damn it!
Wow. Yeah,
that's one of the that cute, I know. So this worked out great.
Yeah, it's one of the cute, peppy, doo-woppy songs in the musical motion picture Little Shop of Horrors. Joe is on the board with 1 point. Monica.
Yes.
You're up next.
Okay.
Oh, and just a sidebar. If anybody's ever, you know, in the New York area, there's a off-Broadway version of Little Shop of Horrors that's been running for a while now. They keep like stunt casting it with new known actors, but I saw it when it first started, and it's really good. So if you
nice.
If you're interested in that sort of thing, check it out. All right, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
What movie do you think has a musical number, the song that's called Pretty Women?
I'm just hoping this is with the theme, because that one said horror. The only other scary musical I know is Sweeney Todd. Is it Sweeney Todd?
You mean Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street?
Oh, yes. The whole title. I didn't even know that was the whole title.
That is the correct answer.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know any other scary musicals.
You,
oh, God.
You got the right answer without even knowing the full answer. Very
the
impressive.
Women. Do I remember that? Anyways.
Yeah. There's just a song where, you know, Johnny Depp in the movie is just going on and on about pretty women. And, you know, he's got a bit of an attitude. Because he's just a murderous barber.
He's a temperamental barber, yeah.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I just recently saw Sweeney Todd on Broadway as well, and it made me, everybody's loving this version, but it just sort of made me go, I think they nailed it in the movie, because the stage version is like an hour longer of, you know, singing the way they do. And and it's just also not as violent as the movie. Like, I was really going in hoping, you know, they made it sound like, oh, this is really, it's crazy how violent this show is. And it's like, yeah, people get murdered, but it's not that, you know, the actual movie Sweeney Todd, like the way every time he cuts somebody's throat and then does the chair that drops him through the floor, they always cut to what happens when the body hits the ground, which is the most hilarious to me, like a person's already had their necks cut, their neck slit, and then we're still watching them eat it when they hit the ground. You know, it's like a YouTube video that takes it too far. You know, it's just like, this was violent enough. Now we're going to add this. And then there's lots of beautiful songs in there, but Tim Burton like really like went through and like cut whole songs, cut choruses. Like he really did genuinely adapt it. I think there's too often when somebody takes a long ass musical, tries to turn it into a movie, and they make a long ass movie, and it's just like, yeah, it's a different art form. It should, you know, should maybe
I love that movie
quicker. It's really good. I think about it a lot. Like, I really, it's just so tight and, you know, scary but also amusing. And
it's the last time that I've seen a Tim Burton movie, because, you know, like, we've been in this era of Tim Burton kind of making IPs his own, you know, when he's been doing stuff for Disney and doing like Dumbo and Alice in Wonderland or whatever. This was one where, like, you can tell he was like behind Video Village, like laughing every time there was arterial spray or seeing Sacha Baron Cohen getting dismembered. But yeah, the montage of all the bodies, the bodies that they used in that are so well articulated. Like, I had just recently watched Frankenstein again. And if you know the movie very well, like, there's a part where Dr. Frankenstein gets like thrown off and hits the windmill. And it's clearly like some mannequin, like maquette, like little puppet that someone stole off the street and threw it into the set. Whereas I think it's K&B that did the effects for those bodies talk more than the actors that actually played them. They're so beautifully done. And every time they hit the ground, it's like, oh, it's gut wrenching. But maybe yeah, my favorite like Tim Burton movie in a while.
Yeah, it's like they get their neck slit and then they fall and hit the ground in a way that like then their neck gets broken. Like it's like it's so. It's,
yeah, I do. I so remember extra. Their legs being all bent up and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, and when you see the Broadway musical, they don't you don't see where the bodies land. You just see them, you know, slide out of the chair. okay, so we got 1 point for Joe, 1 point for Monica. Rachel, are you ready?
Yeah.
As you'll ever be. All right. You can't. You don't have time to squeeze in a sixth movie right now. You just have to go with your gut. And
I did have time to just Google horror musicals. I don't think that's cheating because I did it before you gave me the prompt.
Okay, let's see if one of the horror musicals that you that came up is the answer here. What movie do you think has a song called Hollywood Ending?
Well, I'm guessing it's not Rocky Horror because I do know that movie and I don't remember that song. I'll go with Corpse Bride.
I don't even remember how much singing there is in Corpse Bride, but there probably is some.
Google seems to think there was a significant amount. That's on the
list. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I know that, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street is like, you know, wall-to-wall songs, hardly any just plain talking in that. And of course I love that movie, but that is an incorrect answer, Rachel. But
heartbreaking.
Great guess. Joe, do you think you know?
I don't. What, I mean either I'm gonna come up with some snarky. Is there any hints? Can we get any hints at all?
No, I'm just excited that you don't know this one.
I don't know this one. I'm trying to think of other horror musicals that would shit. I'm gonna go with Scream 3.
Incorrect.
I knew. Yeah, I was waiting for the sound effect. Damn it!
There it is. All right. Is that everybody, Monica?
I didn't get a chance, but I pretty much don't. I'm not confident in it. So
no, this is a tough one. Like if anybody had seen this movie, or maybe Joe has seen it and just didn't remember that there was a song with this name in it. But I love this movie. I talk about it every year around the holidays because it's not only horror, it's also Christmassy.
Oh, a bit. Know it now. God damn it.
Yeah, it's Anna and the Apocalypse.
Anna and the Apocalypse. Fuck.
I'm gonna say Nightmare good. Before Christmas. So that's good.
I don't know if Nightmare Before Christmas had a snide Hollywood satirical bend to it. But
that's
why
I was like, that doesn't fit, but that's singing.
But I do great. I do recommend Anna and the Apocalypse to anyone who you know likes musicals but is not too big on horror, because while it has horror elements, you know, it's basically a zombie movie, and those I think people must be getting less and less scared by zombies because there's just so many of them these days. Like they're just,
yeah, people are getting demystified by them at this point.
Yeah. You know, I just finally watched, I'd never seen Train to Busan, and I finally watched it. And,
oh, and what'd you think? You just talked about this. Like, so how did you cry?
It's very emotional at the end, which I was, you know, sort of expecting, but it still packed a wallop. And then, but the other thing that I found interesting about it is they managed to create a type of zombie that is slow some of the time and fast some of the time. Ooh. And they even
depends on their mood.
And they can even talk sometimes.
Zombies have discovered a high intensity interval training.
Yeah, something. Well, they have this thing where they're like, as they're transforming into a zombie, they are really slow and they do these weird movements where they're like, it feels like their like bones are snapping. And then once they're full zombie, then they can just run. But they're dumb. They're still dumb zombies. They still just kind of run at things and, you know, are kind of aimless.
Yeah, what do they say when they talk?
You know, hey, I'm sorry that I've been such a bad father.
You did watch the movie.
it's weird how emotional it is, and it's really good. And I've been hearing it's good for years, and so I finally watched it, and I'm happy that I did. But this game is about to come to an end with a tie breaker because because Joe and Monica are tied and we have to have a winner before we can move on to commercials and another game. And so, Joe, it's in your hands. This is all I write these things down in a certain order and it just works out in some people's favor better than others. But all you have to do is tell me the movie that features the song Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul.
Oh my God. If I get this wrong, I'm going to be fucking kicked out of the house. That would be Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that didn't come up when it was your turn, Rachel. But
you know what? I forgive you.
Thank you.
That's the only other guess I had, so I was gonna get it right, but
yeah,
no, you're there eventually. But I have to say, just doing this, I know there's not a lot of horror musicals, but the four that I just talked about, I could recommend them all so
highly. They're all such great movies. Nice. So some actually based on stage stuff, and then some. I guess Anna and the Apocalypse is the only one that wasn't a stage musical first, but boy, that would be a great idea. That would be fun.
Can I ask really quick, has everyone here seen the live version?
Rocky Horror?
Yeah. Yep.
You mean like going to a theater and listening to people scream the whole movie?
Yeah. I was in a live version in college.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you play a specific character?
I was just an extra. I did it because my pseudo girlfriend at the time was really into it. And you know what? It was not miserable. It could have been worse.
It's fun if you're into it, but like if you wanted to see the movie or hear what anybody is saying in the dialogue scenes, forget it, because it's
but
they all have so many call and response things that they say that you're just listening to an audience just shout in unison at the screen. At least the last
anybody
time I
who
saw
goes
it.
To see. Anybody who goes to see Rocky Horror for the first time at the theater there is like the asshole who listens to the commentary before actually watching the movie. You know, like you have to at least absorb it once. But it plays at the New Art, still every Saturday. I went last year. I'd never been there before. I'd seen it many times at home, but never had the full experience of it. And yeah, it's a blast still. It's definitely highly recommended if you've seen the movie a few times.
Yeah, and it is such a different experience just watching it on TV, because I definitely started out with, seeing it with the, at midnight in a packed theater, people screaming, but that's because I was, part of that original wave of it, of it becoming popular.
Is it like a standard thing to have people act it out in front of the screen also?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, they insist. They make that happen, at least the last time I went it was a lot of people, and and some are great at it and some people are wasting space, but it's just like any kind of it's any kind of karaoke situation or something. Some people are gonna be great, other people are gonna be like, hey, why don't you give the great people more time?
I feel bad for anybody who's playing Janet, because it's like, okay, you're trying to compete for people's eyes with Susan Sarandon.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you're what you get for your trouble is being called a bunch of horrible words, because that's like the movie when you see it with a crowd. Brad and Janet don't get a second to breathe without being just called every horrible name. Like they're just instantly, especially Brad, they just start yelling shit at him the second he shows up. It's really there's some ugliness to it. It's a lot of. A lot of people sound angry when they're yelling at Brad.
I feel like there's too much joy to really experience it as anger. It's just like, asshole, slut, we're so happy to be here.
Yeah, it's true. Like, they love it, but they also, like, in the narrator, they give him such a hard time. He's just trying to tell the story. Like, you don't hear a word he says when you see it in a theater. Like, as soon
he gets tackled a lot.
They just start screaming, where's your neck? Where's your neck? all right, let's play another game, because we gotta settle this thing. Joe Lynch won that first round, and wait, did I go to a commercial already?
No,
I didn't, right?
No.
We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back. Oh, so glad I got that in. all right. Joe Lynch won the first game, so he gets to go first in our second and final game today. And that could be really crucial if we get down to another tiebreaker, because he'll be first if he's involved in the tie. And the game we're going to play is called Weird Algorithm. I'll explain. The Internet Movie Database has a weird algorithm where they keep track of every person who acts in movies and TV shows is ranked by, like, this, they call it the star meter. And for any motion picture or TV show, but we're talking motion pictures here, you can go in and take the regular cast listing that was how the, everybody was billed on the actual movie. And then you can refine it and change it to, you can rearrange the order of the cast in order of popularity according to IMDb. So I'm going to name a motion picture, and then each of you, and I'll tell you three of the stars of the movie, like the ones that are typically top billed. And then you have to each guess the name of an actor in that film who you think is the highest ranked today, according to IMDb. And if you get the top billed person, you get 3 points. If you get the second billed person, you get two. And if you name the third billed person, you get one. And everybody can listen to everybody's answers and logic. And I'll even go back and double check before locking in your answer. And so two people or three people can all pick the same person. But ultimately, to win, okay, you should probably, you know, try to guess somebody different. It's very strategic. And the good news for Joe and the bad news for everybody else.
Great. More of that.
Is that these are all,
I'm sorry,
these are all horror movies. But okay, they star actors that are in all genres.
In so, other types of films. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, you're just looking for the most popular actor in any given situation. But some
look,
of these
if he doesn't,
also,
if he doesn't name The Hitcher or Nightmare 4, you guys are fine. You're like, it's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it'll be. It's gonna be great.
It's don't, Michael Madsen. That's
don't
what
you.
Is.
So let's start with Joe goes first, and then we'll go to Rachel, and then to Monica, and everybody else. Everybody gets a chance to go first. There's three rounds, so each round will be a different person going first. All right, Joe. The movie
Nightmare 4.
I do a lot of movies with the big casts for this game because that's fun. But this movie had a pretty small cast, but is a very effective, almost as much a thriller as a horror movie, called 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Ooh.
So it officially is kind of a three-hander starring John Goodman, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and John Gallagher Jr. But today, what member of the cast of that movie do you think, Joe Lynch, is the most popular?
Oh, I mean, the thing that I love about the movie is that the person that I would think, being a big King Ralph fan myself, would be number one, is kind of playing a supporting role, and that's John Goodman. I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Oh, shit. I'm going to go with my gut, and I'm going to say that Goodman is number one, mainly because he is just a sizable force in the frame in every film he's in. So I'm going to go with Goodman.
Okay. Rachel, what do you think?
I'm also going to go with John Goodman because I think I've only seen or heard of Mary Elizabeth Winstead in one thing. She was in Scott Pilgrim, right? She was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, that's the only movie I've heard of her from, so I'm guessing it's not her. And then the third person, I don't think I've heard of at all. So just based on that, I'm going to say John Goodman.
Okay. What do you think, Monica?
I'm gonna go with a twist here and go with Mary Elizabeth Winstead just because it's different.
Just to change it up, be different. Yeah.
Okay. And she's younger and cooler. I don't know.
I like her a lot. Joe, are you locking in John Goodman, or were you the other?
I'm gonna hold, because you know, as much as I love me some John Gallagher, I'm gonna have to go with John Goodman.
Okay, and Rachel, you're sticking with Goodman.
Yep.
Okay. Monica, you've done it.
What? Really?
Congratulations. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is number one. According to IMDb, that's worth 3 points. Number two in this motion picture is a voiceover. You only hear this actor's voice. Do you know who that is, Joe?
No. Like Bear McCreary, the composer, or J.J. Abrams?
No, it's Bradley Cooper.
What? It's a voiceover for that.
You know, he must be like on the phone or something.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Oh, he's.
I would have picked him, and then I would have been wrong anyway. So that's.
Right. And then, and John Goodman is number three, and John Gallagher is four. But John Goodman's number three, and so that's worth 1 point for Joe and Rachel, and Monica has three. So it's anybody's game at this point.
Okay. I like that we still just get off being place. Wrong. It's hot, like the most wrong.
Fucking Bradley
who's
Cooper.
Next? Rachel. Rachel, you go first on this one.
All right.
The motion picture is the most recent Scream film. They kind of did a sort of, not a reboot, but it's just a weird continuation where there's still like, there's the numbers are getting strange, but this one is officially Scream 6, and it stars Courtney Cox, Jenna Ortega, and I haven't seen it, but somehow they managed to get Skeet Ulrich in there from the very first Scream. So what do you think, Rachel? Do any of those names strike you as being the most popular today?
So the way the first one went, it sounds like it's biased in favor of like more current or younger actors.
One
like who's ever in
that.
A lot of stuff right now?
Well, yeah, the star meter is how popular they are right now, right? Not when the film was made. Okay.
So there, somebody tends to like rocket up the star meter if they die.
Nice.
Like because people are typing their
life
name
hack.
Into the search engine. Yeah. So which one of those things do you think is the most popular now? Or, you know, you could name another, but I feel like you haven't seen Scream 6.
No, I haven't.
It'd be funny if your five movies you've seen are Scream 1 through 5.
Yeah.
Then you just dipped just when you needed it most for Scream 6.
That would be unfortunate. I think Courtney Cox was in Friends, and that was her big thing. But they're probably not counting like streaming data, right, for old shows.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I do think she remains popular because of that show being like such a, I don't know why people are still so into it. Now when I see it, it does feel dated to me.
I watched one episode of it in fifth grade and I thought it was dumb even then. And I don't even have good taste. Like, I'm not bragging about being smart as a fifth grader. It's just, I guess I like different dumb stuff. Yeah, I'll say Jenna Ortega just because I think she's younger, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's a perfectly reasonable reason. Monica?
And that's what I was thinking, but now I'm going to say Courtney Cox just based on this odd Friends resurgence. Like, I feel like so much of my algorithm is clips or memes or something from Friends, so maybe... Mm-hmm. Maybe a lot of people are searching her right now, so I'm going to go with Courtney Cox.
Okay. Joe?
Now, I'm going to go slightly contrarian. No, I want to go slightly contrarian. A, because that's the smart-ass way to go. And also, I've seen the movie, and like the other Scream movies, they always have that opening kill casting that like throws people off where they go like, oh my god, they brought Blanche into the movie, and they kill them systematically. Samara Weaving was in Scream 6, who I worked with on the little film called Mayhem. She plugged. But she also went on to direct to be in the director's, I think it was one of their first movies, the Radio Silence guys, they called Ready or Not. So they brought her back in for the opening. And it seems like everybody's talking about Samara Weaving for one reason or another. Usually it's like, hey, is that Margot Robbie? No, it's Samara Weaving. And she's great. She's an amazing actor. That said, I don't know. Like, it just feels like everybody is like on the Ortega tip because of Wednesday. I think I'm going to, if I want to win this motherfucker, I think I'm going to go with Ortega. I would love to say Samara Weaving. I bet you she's up there, but I'm going to have to go with Ortega as well.
Okay. Is that everybody?
Yep.
Okay. I think so.
So Monica went with Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel went with Jenna Ortega.
Mm-hmm.
And so did Joe. All right. Well, this is interesting because Courtney Cox came up in fourth place. So that's not worth any points. Third place, another kind of surprise one that was actor that was thrown in there that we hadn't heard of much for a second. Hayden Panettiere.
Oh,
yeah.
She's in
there. Oh, that's right. She was in Scream 4.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And then Joe was had good instincts about Samara Weaving. She really is popular these days for lots of reasons, but also her and Margot Robbie, you know, were out picketing together and got a lot of attention for that. And so she came in at number two. And then, but Rachel and Joe were both right about Jenna Ortega just being just a force these days. She's very popular because of the show Wednesday and these two Scream movies that she's been in. And so she's number one. So Rachel and Joe have 3 points. We have a very close game. Joe has four, Monica has three, and Rachel has four. And Monica gets to go first in this third and final round.
Okay.
And this is more of a thriller than a scary movie, technically, but it has plenty of horrifying stuff in it, if you ask me. And we're talking about a movie called Sin City, starring Mickey Rourke, Clive Owen, Bruce Willis, and a lot of other people.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Monica, do any of those three names excite you, or do you want to just name somebody randomly and hope that they were in it?
I mean, this is difficult because they're all not currently maybe in their peak, you know.
Yeah,
it was a little bit easier in the other ones because you're like, oh, people are probably searching for Jenna Ortega, right? You know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one, I don't know. My gut is saying Bruce Willis, but then I'm worried that that's just what I know the most. You know, like that's who I know is more about, I guess. And what has he been doing? Wait, wasn't there some news about him recently? Like maybe he was sick or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's got a, you know, it's not a dementia or Alzheimer's, but it's a similar, something it's in that like ballpark. That. Yeah,
that's a really fucked up reason to be like, oh, maybe more people are paying attention, but maybe that aids the meter. Okay, I'm going to go with Bruce Willis, mostly because that's who I know the most.
Let's talk to Joe because he's probably seen this movie a million times.
a few, yes.
Yeah. Who do you think? Who do you think the top person would be right now?
If we're going right now, I'm going to have to go with Rosario Dawson, just because everybody's talking about her new Star Wars show. She's great. She's great in Sin City. But I think that just based on popular hits and everything, those Star Wars fans sure do love their IMDb. So I'm going to go with Rosario Dawson.
Okay. What do you think, Rachel?
I'll also go with Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
I I think delegating is a very important skill in life, and Joe clearly knows more about movies than I do, so I'm just taking his answer.
I like it.
Didn't you two both verse me this whole time?
I really hope it's not Benicio del Toro. After all that.
Okay, Monica, you want to stick with Bruce Willis?
No. I'm going to go with Rosario Dawson as well, because I did it in the other ones, and now I want to.
I've swayed everyone. Watch
this end up on some website about it's how to be Bruce an alpha Willis. Male.
I love this. Now I've swayed everybody like Henry Fonda in 12 Angry Men.
It was a trick. She's not even in the movie, is she?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be funny if she wasn't in it and he just sold it so well. But she is in it. But let me give you the full rundown here, because this movie had a lot of people in it. And the order is interesting, because all the way down at number 9 was the great Elijah Wood, who could not be creepier in that movie. And then number 8 is Robert Rodriguez, the director himself, who appears uncredited as a SWAT team member.
And he's higher than Elijah Wood. Okay.
That's good. Yeah, you know, because he's always got new stuff coming out and stuff, so people are looking his name up on the IMDb. And then
there's a
seven
great YouTube video of him making breakfast tacos. I've never seen Sin City, but when I was in high school, I watched this video where he tells you how to make breakfast tacos, and I made those tacos like probably 20
and they're
times.
Great. His whole thing was that, and like when I was in film school, like when he started with El Mariachi and Desperado, he would do 5-minute movies, like 5-minute film school, where he would show you how he did it. And then almost as a parody of that, he did the five minute cooking school. And I've made those breakfast tacos many times, and they are second to none.
Hell yeah.
All right. So number 7 is somebody we don't see much lately, Mickey Rourke. Number 6, hot off of his turn in Oppenheimer as some random dick, is Josh Hartnett. Number 5 is one of the Gilmore Girls, Alexis Bledel. Number 4.
Isn't that your profile picture, Monica?
No, that's me. That's my face. But thank you.
Wait, really? Are you serious?
Yeah, that's my actual face.
She's very Bledel-esque.
That's so funny, because my wife loves Gilmore Girls. Now I'm thinking about that too much. But yeah.
That's awesome. Number 4 was Joe mentioned him and was worried about it. Benicio del Toro. And then coming in at number 3, Monica did the right thing by moving off of this one. It was Bruce Willis.
Okay.
And then number 2, this is going to shock everybody. I don't know what she's up to now, but she's popular. Carla Gugino. Gugino.
Oh,
however you want to say it. Another great actress. And then number 1, you all did it. Yes. Congratulations to everybody. Congratulations to all the sheep out there for saying Rosario Dawson.
Yes.
So
we did it.
Still keeps it.
I only know her as Cory Booker's ex-girlfriend. But as soon as you said she was in some sci-fi thing, I was like, yeah, it's her.
Okay, she's also Eric Andre's ex-girlfriend.
Actually, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, wow.
All right. So
yeah, from Rent.
You got to race to that one. Okay, so we got to really quickly settle this score. Unfortunately, Monica, you have 6 points, and Rachel and Joe both have 7. So it comes down to Rachel and Joe. And like I said in the beginning, Joe gets to go first because he won the last game. So he's really got the power here. We'll see what happens. Michael Gambon passed away recently. He played Dumbledore in the Harry Potter movies after Richard Harris passed away. But the question is, if you get this right, you win, Joe. If you do not get this right, then Rachel is our winner today. The question is, between these two Dumbledores, the one who just died and the one who's left us, you know, maybe 10 years ago, which one is number 1? Which one's higher in popularity on IMDb today?
Wait, you mean like as in terms of the actor or the Dumbledore itself?
No.
Oh, it's got to be Michael Gambon, because he just died.
He just died, but, you know, it brought up a lot of Richard Harris interest because, you know, people just decided they needed to have a debate about which was the better Dumbledore.
That is true.
Well, I'm going to go with both my favorite Dumbledore and also my favorite dead Dumbledore, and that's going to be Gambon.
He's just a terrific actor, and it bugged me that I like Richard Harris too, but it bugged me that, you know, people like Richard Harris started trending on X, you know, because people were making comparisons. And but you figured it out, Joe. That is the correct answer. You are our winner today.
Yay!
See, everybody. Listen, everybody, all the listeners, it pays to watch movies.
Sometimes.
Yeah, not that often. There's other activities that pay off as well. But Joe, you are officially our winner today, so you get to do your plugs first. Tell us everything we need to know about Sustainable Flesh opening soon.
I don't know if we might just change it now to Sustainable Flesh or maybe Mysterious Skin 2. No, Suitable Flesh is I would watch Mysterious Skin 2. Big Garaki fan. No, Suitable Flesh is coming out October 27th in theaters and VOD. It is a very horny, sexy, Lovecraft adaptation, cosmic body swap, sexually fluid, queer adventure. It stars Heather Graham, Barbara Crampton, Judah Lewis, Jonathan Scheck, and Bruce Davidson. It just played at Beyond Fest a couple days ago. If you're looking for something a little different, if you want to make your Halloween a little hornier, look no further.
Yeah, it's definitely hornier than your typical horror movie, or, you know, especially like zombie movies. I don't think they have sex very often.
No, they because they usually devolve into biting each other. So, you know, Unless you're into that sort of thing.
They go right to the hickeys and stuff. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Joe Lidge, for being here and continuing to dominate. I think it was an error on my part to book you in October. but I'll try to get some horror nerds on the next episode. Rachel McCartney, thank you for joining us and sharing. I think now we know 3 of the 6 movies you've seen.
5 movies, please.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to.
I was engaged this whole time. I wasn't watching a 6th movie.
all right. What would you like to plug, Rachel?
I will be opening for Gary Goldman in Cleveland on November 16th, Hilarities Theater. And then I will be opening for him in Chicago November 17th at the Vic.
Very cool.
And if you would like to follow me on Instagram or...
tickets to Gary.
No, I know this is very much a, like, what do I have going on in my life? Oh yeah, I'm opening for this guy who does not need my help whatsoever, but I might as well brag.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Say hello.
I'll just plug his book instead. Buy his book, Misfit. It's very, very, very good. And follow me on Twitter at Rachel M Comedy. Sorry. Perfect. I don't use that anymore, so follow me on Instagram and TikTok.
Oh, okay. Even better.
Yeah.
Monica Nevy.
Yes.
What do you got to plug?
Well, you can follow me on social medias just at Monica Nevy. And November 25th, I'm filming a new special in the Seattle area. It's at a theater called Carco. And it is a holiday special. So all the jokes are about holidays, including Halloween and whatnot. And then that'll come out in December. So yeah, follow me and keep an eye out for that. Buy some tickets for the live taping.
Awesome. I am going to be in the aforementioned Cleveland on November 5th at Dunlop's, doing a Douglas Movies in the afternoon and a stand-up show in the evening. October 17th, the Douglas Movies in Los Angeles has a new home, the Improv Lab at the Melrose Improv, on the third Tuesday of every month. At least, you know, that's how we're going to start off, and we'll see how that goes. And all of my dates and deets are at DougLovesMovies.com. Thank you once again to Joe Lynch, Monica Nevy, and Rachel McCartney. What a delightful group. And as always, I say a last line from a motion picture. after we're show's done, we'll see if Joe knows what it's from. Nightmares or dreams, madness or sanity, I don't know which is which.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause